sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning. Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and I am here with Mr. Ken McBride from Chicago Title. And Mark is vacationing today. I know I'm going to miss him because I'm used to having somebody with me. Ken, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Becky. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, too. Mark and I went to New York this week to shoot some commercials. We shot three new commercials with Barbara Corcoran. That was fun. She is always so much fun, by the way. And
all right, you got to tell me, is she as fun in person as she appears on television and so forth?
She's more fun in person because she really is that person that is. She's such a quick thinker, definitely is deep knowledge in the real estate market, and doesn't mind discussing it with you as you're doing the commercials. It takes a whole day. So you get to spend quite a bit of time with Barbara, and we discuss anything from what's the weather in Oklahoma to, I mean, you know, what are the grandkids doing? So we have a good time, and she is a blast. So anyway, that was done, and I hadn't made a commercial since COVID started. I did January of 20. And then they just kind of shut down stuff to where you really couldn't go to New York very easily.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So when do we get to see these?
Well, it usually takes a couple of weeks, maybe three, for them to edit, because Barbara's a professional. I'm not. I'm an amateur when it comes to making commercials. So, yeah. So we should be able to see them. And on they're running right now. Well, they will. The new ones will be running, but on CBS morning show, that's not the morning show I listen to, but they seem to have the ratings of the other two stations combined.
Wow,
that's hard for me to believe.
I did not know that.
I had them. I said I got to question that because that's not the station I listen to or watch. I mean, I don't get time to sit and watch, but. It's running as I get ready in the morning, you know. So, but anyway, yeah. Hey,
but it sounds like you're dealing with some real professionals.
Who
can take care of the professional aspects of the production as well as the broadcast.
Well, and they know exactly. I mean, Barbara is the one that writes the scripts for everybody because she knows real estate and she knows what people are looking for. And she will not do a commercial or endorse anybody. Her team checks me out every 6 months to be sure that I'm still got the production levels and stuff. So that's kind of fun.
Okay, so they do their own due diligence. They look into your background. They're not going to take, you know, just anybody that comes in and says, yes, we'll pay whatever your fee is. They're gonna make sure before they give you an endorsement that they know who you are.
She endorses two people in Oklahoma, and that would be Aaron Catron in Tulsa and me. And Aaron and I hung out together, too. That was fun because we don't get to see each other very often because we're both working. So that was really fun. So let's kind of get to our subject today, Ken.
Okay. Well, there are real estate transactions. I've always said that one of the things that I love most about the real estate business is that although each transaction has many similarities, that in its own way, each transaction is unique.
Well, and the transactions probably have more in common with each other than the clients that are entering that transaction, because you've got lots of personalities involved. You've got, first of all, two very A-type realtors, typically, each providing services for their own client. And so you have the personalities of the realtors and their brokers, and their staff, their transaction manager, their, you know, listing manager, all this stuff. Then you've got your buyers and your sellers. And, of course, you only have access usually, typically, to one. And you have to depend on the other realtor to portray the message that you want sent. That's why we require writing when it comes to, they'll say, well, see if your seller will do this. And I'll go, send it to me in writing and I will present it and do my best to portray exactly what you mean, but have it say what you mean on the paper. So, yeah, there's families involved. And I've always billed myself as a social worker because that's what I was. Before real estate, I was a social worker. And I just say I'm a social worker with a real estate license. And that kind of matters.
Well, this is a transaction, of course, where most people are incurring the largest amount of debt they will ever incur. And most people are also making an important decision about where they're going to live. It is truly a lifestyle decision. Where, what kind of house are you going to live? What kind of neighborhood are you going to live in? And so this is so very important that it really touches a lot of emotional triggers. And of course, in the course of the transaction, we see all of that. From our standpoint, we're receiving information from both realtors, and they're giving us information that they have gleaned from the buyer and seller, but we're also receiving information from a lender normally. And how we assimilate that information and how everything comes together and how all of the communication is made consistent is one of our biggest jobs. And we've come to think, I mean, historically, when we have a problem with a file or a problem with a transaction, much of it can be traced back to communication.
Well, I would say probably so, yeah. And communication, we communicate a great deal with our clients, and we promise to do that. And I've learned over the years that nobody has ever complained that I call them too much. That I text them too much, that I send them too many emails. If they're in, actually, I had one guy complain that I advertised to him too much. And but that's just like, I'll send out a little video, yeah, or a little tidbit of information. But when it comes to transactions, you need the information. You can't wait a week between phone calls from your realtor. And so many realtors are set up to where, okay, I'll call this client every Tuesday and give them an update. Well, no. If the appraisal came in on Friday, call them Friday so they know over the weekend, yes, we are moving forward with the transaction. If the appraisal comes in low or requires a lot of repairs, they might be able to work on the situation of the low appraisal, or maybe even start working on the repairs that weekend. Whereas if you wait until the Tuesday, your scheduled calling time, that's just not advantageous for your own client.
You know, one of my favorite quotations in this regard is, and I wish I could remember who said it, is that the greatest trouble with communication is the illusion that it's occurring.
Oh, there you go. Right. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about what's happening in today's market, because you, from the title perspective, from the closing table, get a clear perspective of what is going on. So what are the situations we have going on right now? And we're going to talk to you more when we return right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and I am broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. I'm here with Ken McBride, who is president of Chicago Title Oklahoma. And Ken, We're talking about what is going on in the market today from the closing perspective. I mean, are you seeing things like foreclosures?
You know, Becky, we have seen an increase in foreclosures. And for a wide variety of reasons, we're seeing an increase in transactions that are somewhat complicated. A lot of people are prompted to sell real estate by virtue of a divorce or because of a probate transaction. Someone has passed away. Frequently, the property is sold because of that. And we're just seeing, and we expect to see a continuing increase in foreclosures because the market has tightened up significantly due to interest rates.
Well, and I'll tell you, the probates that we're seeing, I would assume, are a result of the baby boom generation aging. And luckily, we're seeing a lot of trusts, so we don't have to do the probates, but we're doing estate sales for trust. But we're also seeing some people that think their home's in a trust, and it turns out it's not. So they die, and still their family still has to go through probate. Are you seeing a lot of probates in your business?
Well, we're seeing an increased number, but I think that's the demographics. Like you said, over the next probably 5 to 10 years, we're going to see a significant transition of wealth and property from one generation to the next. And it's the it's the baby boomers. I'm in a situation where I'm more and more going to funerals of friends of mine and people that are in this generation. And so we're going to see more of that. And I've encouraged people in the real estate industry to be aware and be paying attention to these type of properties because we're going back to a market that's not quite so frenzied and there's, not 15 offers on every property. And you kind of have to pay attention to understanding how to handle property when it's in a trust, how to handle property when it's a probate, divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure, tax sale. All of these actually represent opportunities for people.
Well, and I think we're going to see a lot of properties owned by LLCs coming on the market. Investors re-entered the market after just a few weeks when the interest rates went up. You would think that investors would not purchase when the interest rates are up and property values are up.
You know, I don't understand all the, ins and outs and motivations of some of the investors. And frequently investors put money into real estate because they're looking for a long-term return. They're looking for a stable long-term that they don't necessarily need to pull their money out right away, but they want something that they have some feeling that it will either hold or increase its value. But we've seen, like you said, it seemed to us that some of the investor groups that we work with kind of tapped the brakes a little bit when the rates went up, and then recently it appears that they've begun to be more active in the market.
Well, they are, and it amazes me how much cash is out there instead of just financing, and I think it. That will tighten up too, because now you can make money on your investments that are just solid, just not so liquid, that like treasury bills and bonds and stuff like that. So you can get a reasonable return. Back when interest rates for mortgages were 3 or 3.5% for a 30-year mortgage, your interest rates you were collecting on your money might have started with a 0 point,
Very much so, and I think that that people who have resources are obviously looking for the best place to put their money, and real estate has enjoyed, you know, all over the country, has enjoyed tremendous inflation and price appreciation over the last 2 or 3 years. And historically, real estate enjoys some amount of inflation on a regular basis. Some parts of the country, the East and West Coast, sometimes that's very volatile. Around here, our real estate changes in value are not quite so volatile, but historically, we do have an upward trend.
I describe it as Las Vegas, New York, both coasts, Florida, are kind of like, if you're in real estate as an investment, it's kind of like a roller coaster. You go up, you go down, and there's way up and way down in that. In the middle of the country, we're more like a merry-go-round. You might get on a horse that goes up and down a little bit, but basically you're going around level. And but this last couple of years, our property prices went up over 30%. And I hope they stay up there. I mean, I hope they don't go 30% higher just because of affordability. But our properties were underpriced for what you get. I mean, you can get a great, this last week, I went to New York to film a commercial. So I talked to some other realtors from around the country. We had a little round table thing. And it was kind of amazing to me that our prices are kind of level with other Midwest regions, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Dayton, Ohio. I mean, there are just places that have always been higher than us, but that aren't now. So that was interesting to me.
You know, I've got a friend that lives in California, and I always say you have a lot in California, but there are two things that we have here that they very likely will never have there. One is reliable, reasonably priced electricity, and the other is affordable housing. And Oklahoma has had such affordable housing that even with the increases that we've had, we're still one of the most affordable housing markets in America. And I think that contributes to us having a trend that will continue to be steady or on a trajectory up for a period of time.
Right. And so we're talking about complications that we see at the closing table or preparing for the closing table. It's not like it used to be. I remember going to a closing and the lender showed up and said, you're going to have 15% more down and your interest rate's going to be 1.5% higher in order for you to get this house. I had the seller, and the seller was sitting there just going, what? They have to come up with 15% more today, and they have to pay 1.5% higher, and then they just barely qualified for it at that, which is probably why they charged 1.5% more. But nowadays, we do have, on lending, we've got a closing disclosure that needs to be signed 3 days before closing. And that way everyone knows up ahead of time it's not closing day drama, right?
That's exactly true. Becky, I don't know if you've ever had this, but we've actually had closings that people were at the table and were, the seller was looking over their documents before, and we still did not have notification that the buyer had been approved for their loan. So things are different now. They're very different
in a very good way.
In a very good way, and the lenders that we deal with every day are very good about getting, and they take these numbers that they provide, these estimates, and they take them very seriously. And I've had lengthy talks with lenders about how can we make our estimates more accurate? How can we make our disclosures more realistic and make sure that we're actually telling the consumer the things they need to know before they get to the table. And compared with 25 years ago, it's a whole different world for mortgage lending.
Yeah.
The disclosures to the consumer are more timely, they're more thorough. And like I said, the lenders are very conscientious. They take this all very seriously.
The accuracy of the documents and the pinpointing of the numbers are a lot better.
Yes, and I applaud the lenders for the changes that they have made over, you know, like I say, the last 20 years. The lenders have stepped up, and they have made it a better process for the borrower and for all parties.
Well, it turns out if you don't have a buyer or a borrower, you don't have a closing. So it's a lot better for the sellers, too. We're going to return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, a leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and I am here with Ken McBride. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do a small repair or maybe even a whole commercial roof. You can contact them at 728-3700. Talk to Larry, Jennifer, or anybody at Robbins Roofing, and you can trust they put my roof on. So there you go. Ken, our word today. By the way, I should have said Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title, but everybody knows who you are, so You don't really need an introduction. Our word today is, complication? Complication. So what is a complication?
You know, for us in the title business, the complication is something usually that comes in and makes the transaction uniquely challenging. And frequently that's something that occurs at the last minute, but other times it's a complication that where something makes the transaction a little bit more difficult or a little more involved to get to the closing table.
Yeah, a problem or difficulty that makes the situation harder to deal with, right?
Very much so.
Harder than it should have to be. So what are some of the complications you deal with?
You know, and some of these are you know, it's difficult. Trust me, I could not make these up. But we had one not long ago where there was a loan that where the and it was a loan that was made through a finance company, and there was a mortgage on the property. It wasn't a very big loan, but the loan had been sold, and then the loan had been sold again, and then the loan had been sold again, and the last, from the best that we could determine, the last holder of that note and mortgage went out of business. And the note and mortgage was not paid in full. And so the struggle to find someone who is both authorized and willing to sign a release of that mortgage represents a complication.
Well, or even to come up with the payoff for that mortgage.
Even to determine the exact amount due on that. And it was a comparatively small amount. And so those are the types of complications. We had, I had a gentleman, and this was very unfortunate, but he had bought a property from an older man. And the gentleman that was selling took back a mortgage on the property in his personal name. And he happened to live out of state, and the older gentleman who owned the mortgage passed away. Well, this guy kept making payments, but when it came time for him to sell, There's no one to give him a payoff. There was never a probate of this fellow's estate. And he was in a position of having to pay for a probate out of state in order to determine, first of all, have someone tell him exactly what his payoff balance was, and to be able to give authorized to give a release. This gentleman did not have a lot of assets, the person who had the mortgage, and so the family was unwilling to pay for a probate. So, it's complicated. You think about when you've got a loan on property, normally you think, well, the lender is going to give us a payoff. We'll pay the lender off. The lender will release the mortgage. But in some instances, there are complications in that, and that even a corporate lender sometimes things can sometimes fall through the cracks.
Well, a big lender, I'll tell you a story that actually went through your office. A big lender could not find the file on a second mortgage. It was like a home equity line of credit, second mortgage. And it was about $44,000, and this was back many years ago, a little bit before computers were quite so fast and people would accept computerized things. We made a demand, your office made a demand for the mortgage payoff, sent three demands for the mortgage payoff, and it never came because they couldn't find the file. And without a mortgage payoff, they could not pay off the mortgage. And is there some statute or something? We ended up being able to close that without paying off that mortgage because the demand was made and the mortgage company could not provide the payoff.
You know, there's not a statute that particularly gives you relief on that. And like you say, you've got a mortgage, you've got to do something to get it released. And so we generally try to work with a lender and usually a lender can come up with some number.
You would think they would have come up with something.
Yes. But I'm with you, And some of these files happened some time ago before a lot of the data processing that we have now.
Right.
We had a file 30 years ago that the lender we knew had a loan on it, and they assured me they did not have a mortgage on that property and that there was no money owed on it. And they were willing to do that in writing.
So that's all you got to do then, right? That's a release of mortgage.
But they wouldn't
sign a release, would they?
They wouldn't sign a release because according to their records, they had no mortgage on the property.
Wow, can you close that?
we found a way,
yeah,
to work through it. And of course, since it was 30 years ago, it's long since.
Right.
No longer an issue.
You're finished holding your breath.
Yes. And a lot of times we have a distinction really between marketable title. And marketable title in Oklahoma has this very specific definition. And it really is the type of title that if you brought a suit for specific performance on a contract, the title would be adequate that you could obtain a judgment on that. The title would not be flawed. So, but we also have insurable title. There are times when we can take a certain risk. I've had occasions where a particular risk was within 2 weeks of being barred by the passage of time, and certainly that's frequently a risk we would be willing to take. And to be able to hold our breath that it's not going to become a claim for us in that next 2 week period of time, but there are things that come up that are out of the ordinary. And I often say, we like to prove our value to our customers in the regular, predictable, plain vanilla transaction. But we also want to be able to step up when there are complications.
Well, do you know, and you guys, there's other title companies. They're not really title companies, are they? Maybe they are title companies that have popped up in the market recently. And I would give you a couple of names, but they kind of escaped me. But anyway, I see them come across my Facebook feed on the real estate group. And the thing is there's abstracting in Oklahoma. And we love to stick with Chicago Title Oklahoma. You are abstractors. So it's very seldom that we need to say, man, we need this abstracted and closed within 4 days. But if we had to do that, you guys have the ability to close a file quickly because you are abstractors and you underwrite your own title insurance. Some other just closing companies can't do that. They have to depend on an abstractor to bring that abstract to date. Isn't that right?
Well, yes, to the extent that a company that is not an abstract company does have to depend on some other company for their abstracting and to be able to deliver. And I'm not going to say that they couldn't also move quickly with the cooperation of the abstract company that they work with. But we do have the ability to see a transaction from start to finish and to work with it and to handle it through the abstracting, the examination, the title insurance commitment, and then through to the closing.
Well, and then work through the complications, the requirements of the title insurance. Many times there are other things that come up on title insurance that have to be cleared before a title policy can be written. And we're going to talk about that when we get back, about what are the exceptions? What are the things that have to be met before you can write the title insurance policy? We'll return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about complications in the closing process with President of Chicago Title, Mr. Ken McBride.
Hot, hot, hot.
It is time for our Smokin' Hot Deal, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, where you can go. They've got three locations now. They've got Yukon, 63rd and Meridian, and a 122nd and Penn, and just delicious. What can I say about Casa Perico? You've eaten there a few times, haven't you, Ken?
I certainly have.
Yeah, and you know, they kind of have choices for light menus and warm weather and cold weather. So go see my friends at Casa Perico and have yourself a nice little margarita tonight. So, okay, our smoking hot deal is 6100 North Shawnee. Okay, that is in the Coronado edition, Coronado Heights. And most people refer to between 50th and 63rd Meridian over to Portland as Coronado Heights. It's really got five or six legal descriptions in there, but it's Coronado Elementary School, the smallest of the Putnam City elementary schools, smallest in population. And so it's very sought after. This is a home that's been owned by the same people for such a long time. Has a little workshop on the side of the garage, so that the garage is big. I love selling big garages. And pretty much open plan, updated kitchen. This is a $289,000 house, and I'm trying to remember how big it was. Over 2,500 square feet, I'll say. So it's kind of on a curvy corner, and a nice backyard and terrific patio that you can enjoy that gets the east exposure. So look at BeckyIvins.com and kind of see what it is.
Yeah, that is right over here off of Portland, Coronado Edition, which
right.
is right over here between Northwest Highway, Portland, right behind
Deaconess.
Yep, that neighborhood.
That's yeah, and this is a nice. It's one level too, which is pretty cool for a big house. So, anyway, big bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, if I'm recalling correctly. So. you know, go to BeckyIvins.com and look at that on our website. Okay, Ken, we're talking about complications and in the closing process, and take it away.
Well, we basically, the types of complications that need to be satisfied either at or before closing include all of the liens on the property, which would include a mortgage lien, which a lot of properties normally would have a mortgage. Sometimes they have two mortgages. Sometimes they have more than two mortgages. Frequently, we'll have people who are having challenges with their taxes, and they may end up with a tax lien on their property.
Or a couple or three,
and those are complicated because the taxing authorities must be paid in connection on or before the closing, because they've got a lien that's very serious and very important. We frequently have people, well, not frequently, but from time to time, people have had some improvement, either a heating and air system or a water purification system put on their house, and they've secured it with a Uniform Commercial Code filing, which is what we call a UCC filing. And that UCC filing can be one of two types. It can either be a lien on the property or not. And some of them are not, but if it is a lien on the property, it has to be released at or before the closing as well.
Well, the UCC is something that in Oklahoma County you included in your abstracting cost.
Yes.
But in other counties, and frankly, other title companies sometimes charge extra for the UCC, about $100, right?
Yes.
So what do you check on that?
Well, it's interesting. In Oklahoma, the Uniform Commercial Code filings normally are all filed with the Oklahoma County Clerk. The real estate filings, those that are intended to be a lien on real estate through the UCC filing, are filed with the county clerk of the county where they're filed. So those that are filed with the county clerk and with the real estate should normally be included in that abstract, but different counties price those in a different way.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, that's pretty complicated.
It can be. It really can be. And sometimes those are comparatively low dollar amounts, but you still have to take the time to figure out how much needs to be paid and who's going to be able to release it. And again, many of those are smaller notes that the people who did, you know, who actually did the work, bundled those notes up and sold them to a financial institution or to an investor who turned around and sold them to someone else who sold them to someone else, and determining who is going to be able to release that and how much is due on it can be a chore.
You know, back in the 80s when we had our oil bust here, when savings and loans failed, I remember doing a house in Edmond, trying to find out who owned the mortgage on this, because my buyer wanted to buy it, but we had to get clear title, and we could not. I mean, we traced it back to five different lending institutions that bought it. Well, like, you know, a savings and loans would buy another savings and loan, and then a mortgage company or a bank would buy that. And there were five of them. We never did find out who owned the mortgage on that, so no one could release it. The property couldn't be sold. Do you see that coming again?
No, I really don't. And the reason is, I think that record keeping, I mean, one of the things that information technology has given us is a better way of tracking the records of who owns what and so forth. We still find mortgages, and particularly like a small note or something that's really a small amount, that because it's been lumped in with other notes for sale to an investor, sometimes those occasionally will fall through the cracks. But for the most part, I do not look for us to have obligations on property that we cannot identify who can give us that information. But sometimes it's a chore. I mean, we track it down sometimes to four and five different people who've had an ownership interest in that mortgage, and try and determine who is going. But we usually will find someone.
Right. You know, back in the day, in my younger years, each title company kept their own abstracts, and chasing those down was a real problem. One time I chased it down to, I mean, no one told me I couldn't do it, so I just kept going until we did it. And I found out that an attorney that reads titles had died in an apartment in Edmond. And I got hold of the apartment manager and said, can we look in the apartment? I'm missing an abstract, and I really need this abstract to close this transaction. Finally, I got to it, and that apartment was full of abstracts. So it probably helped a lot of people find their abstracts. But nowadays, are your abstracts still the paper that you carry around, or are most of those photographed and you do it from digital imaging?
Most of our abstracting now is done digitally, and that way we don't have to worry about losing it. We've got it automatically backed up in two or three different offsite locations. But we still deal with historic abstract, the abstract that was created, you know, 10 years ago on the last transaction. But we have the companies have entered into an agreement with a third party to have a centralized filing. So we have all of our abstracts filed in a central location, and so none of them, these abstracts aren't based, they're not in the office of one abstract company or another. They're all in a centralized location. Each company shares the cost of storing those abstracts, and the cost of retrieval of those abstracts each time we get them. But eventually, you know, who knows where that will go. But right now, the centralized storage reduces the likelihood of what you've said.
Right, right. A lot better, right? So what's the last complication we should talk about?
You know, the last complication we should talk about is perhaps legal description, because sometimes we get to a certain point in a transaction and the legal description doesn't exactly match up. It doesn't exactly describe the property that the parties intended to buy or sell. And so everyone has to pay particular attention to that. And then resolving legal description problems can also be a complication.
Well, we've got more to talk about, but our time's up for today. So thank you, Ken McBride, Chicago Title, Oklahoma, and my favorite place to close. We'll be here next week. So please come join us when we talk about what's new in FHA lending. The prices just went down. So join us here, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.